If you're still sitting up there on the platform. Yeah, I know what's going on. He wanted to get down there and snuggle with his wife. Amen. I'm telling you. Well, it's been a good day today. Amen. I've enjoyed hearing the singing tonight from the church of today and also the church of the future.
Right.
It's been a precious day today. It certainly has. And Breed and I appreciate so much you letting us be here. And we always look forward to these family days, and we praise the Lord for all that He does. Now, we've got a pretty busy week. Be back in prison tomorrow. Just thought I'd let you know. They let me out for today, and I got to go back. And then on Tuesday, we'll make our way down to Florida for a week meeting down there, and just help us pray that God will help us and God will use us. Some of you mentioned this morning that you've been hearing the call from Calvary Broadcast on WPIP in Winston-Salem, and we appreciate that too. We appreciate Dr. Ron Beatty's station. We appreciate everything that the Lord does. He's just very, very faithful to the Maynards. I don't know why he would be, but we certainly desire to be faithful to him. Ephesians chapter 6 again tonight. We're just going to somewhat pick up where we left off this morning. And I recognize the fact, as we read down through these verses of Scripture, I recognize the fact that there is a little bit of change of context, but still there's application that can be made. Verse 1, children, and this is literal teaching, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I was blessed this morning that a young person walked up to me and said, "Preacher, I needed this. I'm going to need to go home today and make some things right." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Honor. We looked that word up this morning, to highly esteem. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is the benefit of being honorable to your parents, as you should be, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, we're not going to pick at the young people. But we do need to deal with the daddies too, of course, as we looked at this morning. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, as I stop right here, as we continue the context of the Scripture, it really doesn't have anything to do by application with the family. But I was sitting over there just a minute ago and was looking at it in context, and really the Lord spoke to my heart is that maybe there's not an interpretation toward the family, but there still is an application. Why is that? Because if you'll notice here, he mentions servants. We can't have a good family life unless we're willing to have a servant's heart. If we're not willing to love each other and to fall in line with each other and help each other, then we won't have the marriages and the raising of our children that we ought to have. Young people tonight, your parents are teaching you how to do things so one day you can be a servant to someone. Now think about that. And young people, I hope tonight as you're sitting here, that you'll be grateful for parents that are teaching you in the right way and teaching you how to, what it is to work for what you have one day, and also learn what it is to be a servant to others. There was a situation one time that I run across in ministry where the dad was so rebellious and the dad was so against everything that their pastor did, and all the every time he turned around, he was always belly aching about something. That is not having a servant's heart.
Right.
And eventually, that same attitude was the same attitude as the offspring.
Right.
I mean, again, as we say so much, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So may the Lord help us to be servants. Be willing to do that. Be obedient to them that your master is according to the flesh. Now, I'm not saying that my wife is a master over me. I don't want to be known as a dictator master over her. But it's kind of like this in marriage. We feel there are certain departments of the family that she knows more about than I do, and vice versa, and I'm really going to get in trouble now. There's things that she does to help me, and there's things I do to help her. I'm going to get in trouble now. Some of the men are not going to go out the door and shake my hand tonight. I enjoy washing the dishes for her. Oh. Boy, I didn't get even a holy grunt out of any man on that one. When my wife works hard to fix meals for when we have company at the house, and when Clayton, Nathan, and Seth, Mo, Dick, and Larry comes, and their wives, and the seven grandchildren, and the house is bombarded with Maynards, she needs help. And she don't ask for it. But if the lady of the house is willing to cook and put a good meal on the table, what's wrong with trying to help out? And vice versa. Ladies, time to time, if you get out in the yard and do things, and just do things, it gives you time together, even though it is a labor. It's a work of faith in each other and a labor of love, spending time with each other. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. And watch it now, get this, refer to the family in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Verse number 5. As much as there is to be a oneness between the bride of Christ and the bridegroom, there ought to be a same type of oneness in our marriages. Doing the will of God, verse 6. Verse 5, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, not just to get a pat on the back. But doing something that's real from the heart. As the servants of God, servants of Christ, excuse me. Verse 7, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now verse number 6 is where we left off this morning. Verse 7, the phraseology of good will is to mean to do something with a kind duty and performing it with a good spirit. Ladies, as you cook, do it with a good spirit. And when the food is put on the table, and it'll make your tongue slap your brains, men and kids, receive it with a good spirit. Right. Wow, Mama, that's fantastic. Right. One thing that my daddy instilled in me, and I've already mentioned it, you did not get up from the table without saying thank you. That's good. Goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. More and more the older I get, I know that I've got more days behind me than I got ahead of me. I don't know when I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. I am more hoping for the rapture myself. Can I get a witness right there? But if I go by the way of the undertaker instead of the upper taker, I think that we all need to get very serious about every day that we live. And it's not just the things on the outside of the home and the 401k and the retirement plan and all the, as you get older, if it don't hurt, it don't work, amen. And you're taking more time at the doctor's office. But I'm talking about more precious time with your spouse and with your family. It's an amazing thing when the kids were growing up, you kind of didn't want them to mess up the house too bad, but when the grandkids come, you really don't give a rip. As long as you're having fun. As long as you're having some papaw time. And maymay time. It's precious time. Because them grandbabies are going to grow up one day. But again, back in verse 6, whatever we do in the home, let's not do it with eye service. Let's do it with sincerity of heart. It might be tonight that we need to get around this altar tonight again and say, Lord, forgive me for playing my games. It's time that I get it serious about my marriage. It's time that I get serious about my children. It's time that I get serious about the home life and having more laughter in our home instead of tears and bickering and arguing and foul language and slamming the door and all of that. God, help us to tame that temper. For time, verse 8. With good will doing service, verse 7, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing. Now, I don't know much about Greek. I like the good Greek restaurant down the road from our house. But that's the word gnosko. And it's a word that refers to a complete understanding. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Meaning, everybody included. No one excluded. So what Paul trying to say? The word whatsoever is referring to anything at any time. Good thing, anything that's beneficial, anything that is a pleasing act, anything that is positive. Knowing that what? Knowing that what? That whatsoever he doeth, mean he's willing to perform, he shall obtain, shall earn, because he has been willing to provide. The sweet Lord is keeping a record.
Yes, sir.
I have wondered sometimes in the stillness of the night, sometimes, especially when I go to Mountain City and Berita's is not able to go with me. And I'm riding down that big mountain out of Mountain City, Tennessee, going toward Boone. And then there's another good downhill mountain that goes from Boone into Wilkes County. And I'm coming back. I try to take inventory of the service that night. I try to take inventory of the visits for the day. But more important than that, more important that, now listen to me carefully, I'm going somewhere. More importantly than what's on the grocery list, more important than what's on the IRS statement, the tax statements and everything one time a year, what can be listed? Husbands, fathers. What can be listed of what we've done to contribute to the family for the glory of God? Ladies, what can be placed on the list that has been your contribution for your family? For the glory of God. Can our children look back one day and say, this is what my parents contributed to my life? Not with our service. Not many times I don't pick up the trumpet that I don't have a memory of when Papa gave me them trumpet lessons. I don't think he would have ever dreamed what God was going to do with his little preemie 3-pound, 8-ounce grandson. All of it being done from the heart. All of it being done for any of us for the glory of God. I know our time is getting away, so I really feel like we ought to move to verse 10.
Finally, my brethren, let's do read verse 9 though. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is their respective person. So in other words, no matter who you are, what position we have, let's do right in God's sight. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Now we're making application to the family. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Any men in here ever failed as a husband? Any men ever felt like they failed as a father? I'm telling you, when our middle son was involved in drug addiction, I felt like a failure. I was somewhat a tad bit suicidal because I didn't feel like I could fix it. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got to be strong in the Lord. Daddies, we got to be strong. Husbands, we've got to be strong. We've got to be strong. Economy changes. Don't know how bills are going to be paid and all that. We've got to be strong. When things happen in marriage that you can't understand or don't know which way it's headed, we've got to all be strong in the Lord. And you young parents that are here tonight, yeah, they're little. About the worst thing they do when they're little like that is just use the bathroom on you. But you wait till they get older. And we all have developed that mind of our own. That's when we all have to band together and be strong in the Lord. I don't wish any hardship or heartache over any family. But I don't know many families that don't go through hardship and heartache. That once again is where we have to be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Still remember a time where we were riding down the road and Nathan's wife called us and said he's gone again on drugs. And about 30 minutes from that time, I was going to have to stand in a pulpit and preach. I'll tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go hide. But I got a sweet wife that knows how to encourage. And honey, I remember that night when you pointed at me, told me you was praying for me. Still didn't give her none of the offering, but you know, I'm kidding. I don't even remember that part. I didn't even have that on my mind that night. I wish I could tell every man in the building tonight that you'll never get heartbroken being a daddy. I wish I could tell every husband in the building tonight that you'll never go through anything that maybe you'll have questions in your marriage. And ladies, the same for you. But if we'd be honest tonight, husbands and wives, we've all gone through things. There three hands went up. But we've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. Because it is a spiritual thing that we're facing. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, Paul really makes this plain in verse 9. For we wrestle not. That word wrestle means to get entangled with. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But against principalities, chief leaders, rule makers. You know what the devil's doing? He is sending his greatest power against us, mom and daddies. Husbands, wives. Powers is used in verse number 12. The confident, the privileged, the high ranking, the rulers of darkness, the obscure, the evil, the wicked. The word wickedness, the depraved, the malicious, those that are full of iniquity, the high places, those that are in celestial positions. What do we do, church? What do we do, parents? What do we do, spouses? We put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
Woo-hoo! You mean God has provided something to help us in the battle? You mean it can be put on at home? You mean it needs to be put on the job? You mean it's for parents and grandparents and husbands and wives? I believe if we put everything in the context of Scripture, the whole armor of God needs to be on all the time. You go to that job tomorrow, make sure you have on the whole armor of God. I assure you I better have it on when I go into that prison tomorrow in Mount City, Tennessee, Lord willing. Very quickly. Wherefore, take unto you. It's up to us. It's provided. It's there. The whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able. Now if you haven't underscored that ye may be able, either underscore to put parentheses around it like I did. That ye may be able to withstand. Don't miss that word withstand. It's a promise that God makes. God says you put on the armor of God. Hey man, you'll make it through. You'll be victorious. Woo! At the end you'll be singing victory in Jesus. But the problem is we try to fight the battles without the whole armor of God. We try to have a victorious marriage, but we really cannot unless we have on everything that God has for us. Paul takes time to tell us about every piece. You folks know this well. Have your loins girt about with truth. That is the middle part of your body. It is the pivotal part of your body. And most of us that have a little back trouble, like my wife does, that is usually the area, the middle part, where the pain is the most. So let's have our loins girt about with truth. The Bible. The way, the truth, and the life. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, an armament that identifies whose side you're on and protects the vital organs of your body. Your feet shod, and that word shod means thoroughly laced up. In other words, you don't want a kick and your shoe come off. Now sometimes I don't mind that happening at the house, so I'll see if I can get it in the closet on one try, amen. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Victorious living in our home comes when the gospel is prevalent there. It's a gospel that gives peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that versatile one. That versatile one that can help you in any direction, frontward, backward, sideward, up or down. And we can't make it without faith. The shield of faith wherewith ye shall. Now, do you see the wording of this? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, making three trips to Israel and one to Rome, I found out that the Roman soldiers, that their shields and a lot of times their helmets had metal and things of that nature, but it was overlaid with a wool. And they would saturate it with water. So that way when the darts came and it embedded into that wool, it would not set the shield or the other things on fire. The water of it would soak out and put the fire out. Water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. The flowing of the water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what the Lord is teaching us about having victory in our family? The shield of faith. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on yourself. Sometimes I can be, and Breed, if you want to say amen, stand up and shout, go ahead. Sometimes I am my worst enemy. But I have everything I need. Have everything that I need. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That is an armament of identity, and likewise it protects, of course, the brain. And boy, doesn't the devil like to mess with your mind. Boy, does he ever. How about the rest of you? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Glory, glory, glory. Thank God for the Bible, which is the Word of God. How do we put it on? One more verse and I'm done. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So how do we have a family life that's victorious? Well, just briefly refreshing, we put on the whole armor of God. Preacher, you come. Thank you, folks, for a good day. Next time I go to a church that you can't preach in, that ain't got no liberty, I'm coming back here.